on the morning of October 10th, 1943, I was flying the 570th Bomb Group then, and the 390th, 570th Squadron, and the 390th Bomb Group. And on this morning, October 10th, we'd flown two missions on the preceding days. October 8th, we went to Bremen, and October 9th, we went to Mariensburg over in the Polish Quarter. And the morning of October 10th, we were assigned a new plane, number 783. It was a B-17G with a chin turret, a brand new airplane. And that wasn't so bad, but when we saw the squadron set up, why, our number wasn't in it, and our plane and one other were posted over on another board. And above these numbers was written to fly with the 100th. Now, the 100th group had a real bad reputation as far as coming home was concerned. And I immediately appealed to the Colonel Edgar Whitten, who was later killed in England, and told him I didn't want to fly with the 100th. He said, well, everyone was going on the same mission, and I should go over and fly with them. If I didn't like the way they were flying, I could come over and join the 390th again. He said they were real short of planes, and they wanted enough to make a group. We took off before the 390th on a mission to Munster in Germany. It was on a Sunday, nice sunshiny day, beautiful day, beautiful fall day. And the target was the build-up section of Munster. And I thought it was rather inappropriate that these large set of steps to one big building in Munster was picked out as the aiming point. I'm not sure now whether it was a church or not, but it seemed to me that it was. But anyway, we took off before the 390th and flew over to where the 100th was assembling. They had 16 planes in the air when I arrived, and the other plane from the 390th had some kind of trouble, either real or imagined, and went back and landed in our base. I circled in formation with the 100th and got in position and took the number 5 spot in the high squadron, off to the right and above those 6 planes. There were 6 in the lead, 6 in the low, and there were 5 of us in the top squadron. We assembled with the, got the group all assembled, and the wings started to assemble, and 2 of the planes from the 100th dropped out. And so, then I was in the number 3 position, or number 2 position. I went up to number 2 position in the high squadron. And just as we started to cross the North Sea, why, another 100th plane turned around and started for home. A boarding, they called it in those days. And the remaining 2 planes were just side by side, and so I pulled up in the lead, and I led the high squadron, which then consisted of 2 airplanes. The other airplane was a 100th group plane. It had a square D on its tail, and we had a square J on our tail. We crossed the North Sea, or the north edge of the English Channel, headed into Germany. We had a little fighter support or protection until we got just about to the coast. We went in, headed about towards the Ruhr Valley, and the formations were pretty tight. Our group was leading the wing, which consisted of 3 groups, and the 100th was a little bit lower, and then came the 390th, and then the 395th. Well, we just turned on the at the initial point to head towards Munster. We were still about 20 minutes away from the target, and we're heading northeast. We made a shallow turn to the left, We're heading northeast. The sun was behind us. And seemingly out of nowhere, two fighters came in from about 6 o'clock, a little bit high. And they shot up the lead plane of the group, of the 100th group. And the radio gun, the handle dropped, and it just pointed right straight up in the air. So we figured they were in trouble. When we looked in the plane, we could see, and the windows were close enough. We're about, maybe 200 feet from it. And there seemed to be a lot of activity, but it didn't make any sharp turns or anything like that, as if it was going to leave the formation. The only thing it did do was slow down. And when you're leading a group and you slow down suddenly, it causes quite a consternation among the other pilots. And we slowed down with them. I just had the one man on my right wing, and he was able to stay behind me all right. That was the most difficult part of formation flying, was the slowing down, because if anyone in the lead slows down, it takes a little while for the others to keep from overrunning. Well, not only did he slow down, but he started losing altitude. And we stayed with him for about, I imagine it was about 4 minutes, and the fighter attacks were really getting fierce, and they were coming in from the sides. And after we'd lost about, I imagine, 2,000 feet or maybe 3,000 feet, we still had our bomb load, of course, the 390th group passed us, and they were about 2,000, 3,000 feet above us. And by that time, the lead plane was smoking pretty badly, and the other 12 planes were still staying in formation, and they were scattered out a little bit by the fighters and the slowing down of the lead plane. Well, right then I took my group commander's advice. I said, well, this is it. So we put on full takeoff power and closed up the cowl flaps as much as we could, and we started to join the 390th. And the man on my right wing, who I think his name is Rosenthal, but he was written up in the Stars and Stripes as the only survivor of the 100th mission, he stayed fairly close. So he evidently put on full power, too. And we climbed, it seemed like an eternity before we could ever catch the 390th. And this plane on our right wing stayed fairly close. And there were several fighter attacks on our two planes at this time. However, I think most of them were finishing off the 100th, the 12 planes that went on down with the leader. As soon as we put on takeoff power and started to climb and saw the opposition and the position we were in, we dropped the bombs. And as far as I know, my right wing man did too. By the time we had reached the 390th, they'd already turned at the right into the bombing run. They turned a little left to go into the bombing run. We were able to cut them off a little, and they had about 16 planes left at that time. We dropped into the number 5 spot in the low squadron, and I lost track of the other 100th plane. I don't know where he went, the remaining 100th plane. We flew northwest, mostly west from Munster, and the fighter attacks were just ferocious. The guns were just going all the time. And we had one fighter came in ahead, head on, 12 o'clock level, and he wasn't firing. And just before he got to us, he kind of dropped down, and we raised up a little bit. And I still think he must have been shot, because he didn't shoot at us at all. He just flew right through the formation, or the bottom half of the formation. Well, this was going on. The 390th lost two more planes from fire and from enemy aircraft. And we moved up to the number 4 spot in low squadron. And it must have lasted about 20 minutes, I guess, before the some 51s and some 47s came over. Just about, they were inside of the Netherlands, I guess, a little ways. But, of course, they couldn't go clear to Munster. And we were naturally very tickled when they showed up, and then the German fighters left. And just about the time they showed up, we lost another plane from the 390th. in the low squadron, and then I moved up to number 3 position, low squadron, and there were, I think, 5 in the lead and 5 in the high. 2 more planes were lost on the way home, and we got back to the 390th Air Base, and it was all socked in. It was all foggy and cloudy. Couldn't see a thing. So we went on to the base where the 100th was stationed, and there were 3 of us landed there that I know of. I landed first, and then William Cabral landed in the 8 ball, and his plane was shot up a lot worse than ours. He had an engine out, and he ran off the end of the runway, and but I don't think there was anyone actually seriously wounded in his plane, as there were none in ours. We went into the debriefing room, and of course there were a lot more debriefing tables than there were crews to fill them. There were only 3 crews in there. And we had just started our debriefing, and everybody was certainly relieved to be back on the ground. Our plane wasn't flyable. I mean, it wouldn't take off again without a lot of repairs. And while the intelligence officer was questioning us on the enemy attacks and the bomb strike and things like that, why, there was a telephone call, and they wanted the pilot of the 390th plane, the 3 that flew with the 100th. And so I went to this office and picked up the phone and said, "This is Lieutenant Harris." And the voice at the other end said, "This is General, I can't remember his name now," but it shocked me. So when he said General, I just about fainted. And he wanted to know what happened to the 100th. He said there were 12 planes missing. So I told him everything I knew about the mission. And he wanted to know how far into the mission that they were shot down and things like that. And after I told him everything I knew, he said, "Thank you." And I hung up. That was the extent of my conversations with generals. We went back to debriefing table, and the boys made their claims. We had 5 fighters shot down, confirmed that day, from our plane, which was, it was, at that time, it was the most, I guess, on any one mission. The whole group shot down 57 fighters, claimed, although I'm a little suspicious of some of these figures myself. I only know of actually 2 that were shot down by our gunners that I could see. Of course, the pilot's compartment of a B-17 gives you a very limited view of the enemy attacks unless they're head-on or from the side. And the only one I saw that I could confirm was completely demolished. It was one that came up from about 11:30 low. Oh, he came up at an angle of about 30 degrees, and I think it was the navigator that got him. But the others, of course, I couldn't see. The top turret gunner got one, the tail gunner got one, and I think one of the waist gunners got one. Maybe the ball turret gunner. Anyway, it was a big day, and we were really, really tickled to be back on the ground. The pilot that flew the plane for the 100th, I didn't even get the plane number. Everything was so mixed up when we were on this mission. And later on in the Stars and Stripes, there was an article, this must have been around 1st of November, probably, of 1943, if you care to check on it. And the name of the article is 1 out of 13. And he wrote the whole story about the mission, his part in it. He never even mentioned me, which I thought was kind of an oversight, but I suppose he thought that I wasn't even from his group, so I didn't count. But anyway, no one was hurt physically, but for 2 or 3 days there, we didn't feel like flying again. In fact, the next mission was going to be to Swinford, and due to the fact that our plane was shot up so badly, that they gave us another new plane, and this was one of the newer ones that. Well, they left out a lot of the fancy trimming along about November of 1943, and this one had, well, you could see down into the bombardier's compartment from the pilot's compartment, and there were a lot of things that were really not, I suppose they weren't necessary, but they made our old V-17F a nicer airplane to fly. We took off on the Swinefurt raid, and we got up to altitude and checked the guns, and one of the ball turret guns wouldn't fire, and one of the tail guns wouldn't fire, and we were leaking oxygen someplace. We generally carried about 400 pounds of oxygen in the main tanks, and it was already down to less than 200, and so we turned around and came back. That was the only mission we aborted except one to Paris. In September, we took off, and a push rod broke in the number three engine and started shooting out a lot of oil, so we feathered it and came back. But Swinefurt wasn't a bad trip for our group. They only lost one plane. And as far as I know, all the men on that crew were interned. Well, one of them, I think it was a co-pilot, it was his 21st birthday, and he was a little reluctant to go too, and they were kind of kidding him about it. But he did go, but I guess they saw all the chutes open from the plane. I think it was Flak that got that one. The mission the day before Munster, on the 9th of October in 1943, was the longest mission we had done, except for the one to Regensburg when we landed in Africa. But this one to Mariensburg. We took off from England, we flew north, and we crossed the peninsula of Denmark about halfway up. Then we went down along the south coast of Sweden. Well, we could just see Sweden, and went over Bornholm Island. We turned southeast, and we crossed the coast, maybe 100 miles before we got to Mariensburg. We headed southeast, and on the bomb run in Mariensburg, there was no flak and no fighters, and we went in at 12,000 feet, and our group and the other two groups that bombed the aircraft factory there, it was a real good bombing. The accuracy was just outstanding. Practically all the bombs were right inside the aircraft factory works and the buildings, and I heard later on that there was even a POW camp right across the river. The river kind of bends around this factory, and they didn't get struck at all. On all these bombs landed very close, with I suppose within 500 feet of the aiming point. That was about 11-hour mission, I think. We got home about dark, and we crossed the Danish coast on the way home, and we let down to probably 5,000-6,000 feet, and there were some two or three twin-engine fighters came out, and they stayed just far enough behind so our tracers wouldn't reach them, although a lot of the planes tried to reach them. And they were firing 20-millimeter cannons into the formation. I didn't see them hit anyone, but I could see these flashes when they went off behind the planes below us. And, it looked like a flashbulb go off, and then there'd be a white puff of smoke about as big as a basketball when they exploded in the air. We got out, and this was when we were just about over the coast of, south edge of Denmark, I guess. We got out over the water, and there were six planes, 109s, came out, and they flew down along the lead squadron out far enough so they were out of gun range. And they flew out about, I suppose, probably 4 miles in front of the plane, and they all six turned in formation, and they went right through the formation and they head-on pass. And the group that they went through was about 3,000 feet below us and about two or three miles ahead. And we had an excellent view. And of all the tracers and 20-millimeter cannon shells going off, and as far as I know, everyone was unscathed because there were no losses in the 17s, and these six planes flew on back over the coast towards the east. Marysburg was a real good mission for us. We didn't lose any planes at all, and there wasn't much damage, a few bullet holes, but not many. And if it hadn't been for the fact that the next day we were going to Munster, why, we really started enjoying our missions over in the ETO.